When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fresher than hoe, riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode on One Heat Minute Productions. It is not Miami Nice, despite my partner in crime here sitting here with me at 11:47 on a Saturday night. Katie Walsh, hello.
Hello, hello.
And it yes. is not an Increment Vice, rather, with Travis Woods, the great host of Increment Vice, who recently also, with all three of us, been talking on stages in Los Angeles. Say hello, Travis.
Howdy, everybody.
It is a Increment Nice. This is us, a confluence. This is a superhero movie team up. It's the Avengers of One Heat Minute Productions coming together to really just gush and chat about the amazing folks who made the recent American Cinematheque Friends of the Fest podcast festival screenings of both Miami Vice and Increment Vice so damn special. So we are doing a virtual Vice Summit when I know that Travis and Katie conducted a physical Vice Summit in LA. How are we all? It's so nice. This is us taking the group chat to the mics. It's really fun to talk all of us together. This makes me so happy.
Oh. Yes, it was so fun to be in person with all, you know, listeners who traveled from far and wide, and to meet up with some of our guests who I had never met before, and just to like see everybody come out was like so much fun. It was funny thinking about all the commonalities. Travis actually brought up the commonalities in our movies, which, you know, both have Vice in the title, but are also about like sad, horny detectives. And so it was interesting.
Vertical integration.
Yes. It was interesting seeing those comparisons be made. And honestly, I think, not that it's a competition, but I think we had the best screenings of the festival, but I didn't go to any of the other ones, so I wouldn't know.
I do want to quickly shout out one person who I forgot to give a shout out on the night, who we all, I think, love. The great Ben David Grabinski was in the crowd of Miami Vice and was doing some wonderful posts, particularly saying things like, "This is the best night of my life," true Ben David fashion. And Brian Lee O'Malley, co-creator creator of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and now is collaborating with Ben David on Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. He was in the audience with Ben David. He was his guest. And after seeing us on the stage, Katie said, I listen to their podcast. And I was like, man, that is the Venn diagram of what people would enjoy the nonsense that we spout. All three of us. I was like, that is fucking really cool. Apart from others, you know, other celebrities you may talk about who popped along and showed their love of these movies. I wanted to shout out Ben David because he was doing some really fire, only Ben David possible Instagram tweets. It was great.
I love his such pure enthusiasm and love. Yeah. And I was sitting in the very back row right next to the door because it was like our reserved seating. And also I kept having to pop out because there were people making noise in the lobby and I kept popping out to yell at them to be quiet. And I also was just kind of like nervous. And thank you, Travis, for bringing me a mango mojito because it really helped me after the intro. But Ben David at the end of the movie, he walks right by my seat on his way out and he just sort of looks at me and he goes, I love movies. And I'm like, this is just, I don't know. He was just bursting with enthusiasm for, you know, seeing that on the big screen. And I also loved going on Letterboxd after the screening. And it was just like the entire line of recently watched was like, was all Miami Vice and seeing a lot of the reviews and stuff on Letterboxd and people who saw the movie, you know, for the millionth time or for the first time. I think it was really special. I can't believe we haven't had an encore yet, but I hope that they see how much enthusiasm there is for this movie because, I mean, the tickets were like wheeling and I mean, we sold out in like 36 hours and then the tickets, people were begging for tickets on Twitter and trading and horse dealing and all this stuff. So, you know, people were really enthusiastic to see this on the big screen.
Yes, Cinematheque. Where's that numb encore?
Where's the numb exactly. encore? I mean, it just sells itself.
It truly does.
Truly.
And I gotta say, I sat in the back with Katie for that, and so I was kind of watching the crowd as much as I was watching the movie, and I don't recall when I have seen a more joyous, ready to encounter the movie on its own terms kind of audience.
Yes.
I have not seen that in a minute, an audience like that. You know that gif where there's all these people at a bar watching a sporting event, but the sporting event has been yes. replaced with the opening shot of the theatrical cut of Miami Vice, and everyone cheers and loses their mind. That is exactly what happened when the movie kicked in the opening night of the Friend of the Fest, is that, the crowd just went nuts. And they went nuts for all of the right moments. You know, you sometimes worry that you're going to get a crowd that thinks they're better than a movie and they're going to try to performatively poke at it and laugh at it a little bit. This crowd, they knew to laugh every time someone said dropping loads.
They knew not to drink, more importantly, when someone says loads, because that is death.
They knew to laugh knowingly at, well, my mommy and my daddy, they know me. however he says it. But they also they got the sadness. They, you know, there was no, you know, there's a lot of, you know, very kind of melodramatic moments in the film that could invite a painfully hip audience to giggle or to mock. And instead you could feel chests shuddering and heaving sighs when Gong Li and Colin Farrell, they part ways. And so it was an audience that was so wanting to see this movie on the big screen and just experience it purely. And I gotta say, obviously this screening happened because of Miami Nice, but I gotta say, I feel like that the feelings that the audience brought to this, that the cultural conversation about Miami Vice has been so wildly electrified and redirected by Miami Nice. Like, obviously, Travis, the screening wouldn't happen without Miami Nice, but I don't think that there would be crowds like this primed and ready for this movie had it not been for your guys' show and listening to it over the last few years, especially you know, when, you know, everyone's locked up and can't go anywhere. I think that you guys kind of taught the audience like what this movie is and how to experience it the right way. Not that there's a right or a wrong way, but experience it the most fun way, let's say. And being able to sit in the back row and just watch the crowd watch the movie, it was so much fun. I had so much fun watching them watch it.
Yeah, that's so nice of you to say. I felt beautiful afterwards, like, you know, obviously it was like a moment for us to reflect on the podcast and sort of what it's become. And it's, you know, just experiencing the excitement of all the people in that room. I was just like, I'm just a vessel. Like if my purpose is just to like be a channel through which people can talk about how much they love Miami Vice or like, you know what, I'm not like an expert on this movie. I mean, I kind of am at this point, but
I was going to say you are,
but I'm just like, if this is just how I'm like allowing people to enjoy this movie, then that's all that matters. And just creating that space for it, whatever. But I'm very like pro, this is my hottest take of all time. I like when people laugh at rep screenings. I know it will get me canceled, but but so I am very pro, you know, people enjoying a movie like that in that setting. But and then whenever the scolds get on Twitter and they're like, people were laughing at this, I'm always like, oh, get over yourself. But I do know, I do think that this crowd laughed at all the right parts, were, you know, silent at all the right parts. You know, like it was a very good reception. I do, at the very end, when it goes right to the credits, I could not help myself. I did scream, let's go. I was just so overcome, the fucking music. And, you know, it's like, it's when we do the Discord screenings and we're just like, I'm going to go like rip a phone book in half or something. Like, that's kind of how I felt. So, but I also was going to say, I think there's so many people, fans of this movie, who have never seen it in a theater because they're younger, or they just came around to it a few years ago. Like we had our former guest, Brandon Streusing, who was like visiting from Pittsburgh. He had never seen it on the big screen. And it's like one of his favorite movies of all time. And I was so glad that he happened to be in LA for this and like that he was able to come out for it. And it was just wild, you know? So yeah, I just think a lot of people had never seen it on the big screen. So it's like a very special experience.
That's the that's the one thing I regret when you just said like Gong Li's face. The feeling that we've gotten to have, because we've done a couple of virtual screenings of the Miami Nice Cut and we've done it. And when Gong Li's face hits that final screen, like if you see our chat, because it's this is live, very interactive, silly, like jokes and stuff. Like at that point, the entire crew of people who are often watching this virtually with us are all like telling everyone how much they love each other. Like it's like everyone doesn't even know what to do with all the feelings they have anymore. You just go, I love you guys. I love this movie. I'm really emotional. I'm like 6 mojitos in. I'm fucking absolutely unhinged. And I just want to tell you, I love you all. I'm going to go have a lay down by myself and maybe a little cry. And that's just amazing.
Yeah. And I was so glad. So I did get to have mojitos beforehand with the legend Elliot Koretz, who has been on our podcast twice, the supervising sound editor, and Joseph Tsai, who worked for him on Miami Vice and connected us to Elliot. And we have to have Joseph on a podcast soon.
We have to.
He just messaged me that he's like looking for his like Miami Vice like journal or like notebook so that he can like bring up all the memories
publish
and stuff.
I know.
So we're gonna have him on soon, but I got to have some mojitos with them and they shared some off mic stories with me, so I will not share any of those now, but
vault.
they share the in-person stories. But and then afterwards we all went to the Dresden and had drinks with a bunch of former guests of the podcast and friends and people who had just shown up, and it was really fun. I have to share a very funny story about that, which is that so we show up at the Dresden, I have like 20 people with me, the wait staff are looking at me like I fucking hate you, We go sit outside. They're like, oh, brother, what the hell's going on with all these people? But then at the end of the night, the waitress was like, you guys are great. Like, I really like you guys. And then she's like, what's the occasion? Yes. So then she's like, what's the occasion? And we're like, oh, we were at this Miami Vice screening. And then she goes, oh, I used to work for Michael Mann. This happens. I swear to God, this is the second time this has happened to me
Small world, man.
Where I've like mentioned in an offhand way Michael Mann to a random person. And then they're like, oh, my dad was his mentor, or like, I worked for him. So the waitress is like, I worked for him. And then we're like, what? So we start grilling her as we're leaving. And apparently she worked in Forward Pass office, like as an office assistant, or I don't remember exactly what, but she was telling us this story. It was around the time of The Insider. So she was telling us the story about how she had a pepper spray that was shaped like a perfume bottle. And someone was like, oh, what's this? And like sprayed it and sprayed everyone in the office. And like pepper spray like got on Michael Mann. And he had to like run out of the room. And it was just this like really random story. Do you remember this, Travis? Were you there for that?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'd forgotten about this till you brought it up. But no, like that was such a it was such a lovely night overall. Yeah. And once we got past the, oh man, they're so pissed at us for bringing 20 people to this bar. you know, it was so fun to sit out and just, you know, we were talking and you were holding court kind of at the head of this very long
table. I made everyone go around because it was a bunch of people who I knew everyone, but they didn't know each other. So I like summer camp icebreaker, camp counselor, big sis vibes, which is my energy, made everyone say what their favorite part of the movie was. I'm like, Travis, what's your favorite part of the movie? Corey? Josh? Like, I just like interviewed everyone. It was hilarious.
And so we're doing that.
Fun, yeah.
And we're having these great kumbaya vibes, and we're, you know, drinks are being had, and, you know, it's just a great night. And then, you know, to close it, to have the exclamation point of the evening be this very, very, very nice waitress who turned out to be, you know, very kind, who was like, oh, yeah, I know Michael Mann. Yeah, I sprayed him with pepper spray this one time by accident. And, you know, just lays out
if that young lady is listening. There's a bonus episode of Miami Nice. There's exclusively that story, right?
We got to go back to the Dresden and like find
her. And just go like, here's my Instagram. Follow me. We need to Zoom for like an hour.
Yeah. It was so funny. I was just like, of course. Like, I don't know. There's just something weirdly cosmic about these things. Because I think I shared the story on the Discord last year, but when I was in Santa Cruz, a year ago for my sister's wedding, I made my family watch Heat, which was delightful. But then I was talking to the Airbnb owner and I was like, oh, I logged you out of your Amazon because we were watching a movie. And he was like, oh, what movie did you watch? And I said, oh, Heat. And he was like, oh, my dad was Robert Lewin, I think is his name, who wrote on Hawaii Five-0 and basically taught Michael Mann how to write TV and was like his mentor. And I know, it was so crazy. And he's like, oh yeah, I used to like go to his house in Venice and he was just like a beach hippie. And like my dad was really close with him and he gave a eulogy at the Writers Guild. I was just like, this is so fucking weird that the owner of this house is like connected
of
to
an Airbnb.
Way.
Of an Airbnb.
In Santa Cruz.
It's like, what?
I know, it was so bizarre. Shared this like really moving story about the eulogy and his dad and all this stuff and how close they were. It was just like, there is something weirdly cosmic. Like there, we will somehow run into someone who knows him in a way. So.
My God. So wonderful.
He binds us all together.
So yes. After the beautiful Vice Summit, which I did briefly, call. I was calling Katie, but she was in the throes of going around the table. See,
Katie, you know, Katie's big business now that she had her screening, so she didn't answer her phone. She doesn't have to answer her phone now.
And then I called Travis, and Travis showed my face, and I was so happy to see all of you. I was very excited watching all of you guys around the table. It was awesome. So that was wonderful. But then just a couple of nights later, we go for an Inherent Vice screening, which eventually sold out as well. And Travis, do you want to talk about like some of the mind-blowing guests that you would deeply admire that popped up at that screening as well?
Oh, sure. Again, thanks to the wonderful American Cinematheque, they put on a screening of Inherent Vice for Increment Vice. And I was handing out the frozen chocolate covered bananas to the crowd in the audience as promised. Going down the line, it was so cool just to be like at the very, like there was Courtney Howard, who has been a guest on multiple shows, including Inherent Vice, you know, and so it was cool to start seeing some of the show guests were lining up. Speaking of show guests, I have a big shout out to our buddy, the great crime fiction author Jordan Harper, who literally had just gotten off a fucking plane from Tokyo and was out of his mind with jet lag. Like Jordan's like one of the more put together people that I know, like very, you know, just very straight ahead, very focused. And he was as out of it, like you could just see his eyes weren't syncing with the world around him. He was so fucking tired. And if you've listened to Inherent Vice, you know he's not even that big a fan of the film Inherent Vice. So he was really putting himself out there for like OHM loyalty. He's my movie husband. And he was very bummed. He was so bummed. As I've been to Japan as well, and it's a life-changing experience, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and I think he had very much the same kind of experience. Even that said, the fact that he was over in one of the greatest places on earth having the time of his life, he was so bummed he was not here for Miami Vice. He so wanted to be here for that. But he was drifting off the street and into the line. And then, you know, if we're going to talk about, he said, oh, hey, look at this cool person who's at our silly little show. Karin Kusama and Phil Hay were both there, scared the shit out of me. Definitely gave them seats in our back row. So they, because that's apparently that's her turf. I've seen her at shows. She likes that back row. So we gave her some seats, and it was very cool to see them there because, speaking of films of this nature, their film Destroyer, I'm just going to random shout out, say, I think that is one of the great scripts of the 21st century. And it is one of the great neo-noirs of the 21st century. And it's a film that, you know, when they were asking us, you know, what movies, if we can't do the actual movie subject of your podcast, are there ancillary movies that you would like to have screened, you know, like this movie or that movie, like which, and, you know, I was saying stuff like, you know, Under the Silver Lake and Cutter's Way, but Destroyer would be another one that I think would fit very well as an alternate screening. If we were doing like a Miami Vice Fest and an Inherent Vice Fest,
mm-hmm.
Destroyer would be on my list. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have I told you the story about what Phil Hay did? So Phil Hay is an absolute sweetheart. Phil and Karin, I'm so lucky, had them on to talk about Parallax View on a show together. At the end of all the President's Minutes, we kind of did a little bonus, a couple of episodes on Parallax, which I was really excited to do because I did a commentary track for the Imprint Films version of it. And Phil became a fan of One Heat Minute. He was on one of the final episodes of the show, and he introduced Chris Nolan to One Heat Minute.
Oh my God.
He told Chris Nolan about the show and like got me a quote from Chris Nolan about the show, like when we were wrapping up, because he was like, I don't know, like he's like, I'm not sure if he'd be a guest, but I told him about the show and he was like, oh, that's like a great idea. Like
was that the
premise.
Quote?
Yeah, that's the quote. Like I've still got it. I'll find it. It was like it's still on. If you go to One Hit Minute, like the onehitminute.com, and you go to the actual podcast, the quote that's a great idea from Chris Nolan was from a conversation like that happened with text and stuff like that between he and Phil Hay, and he shared it with me. So we posted it on the site because he had a quote from Chris Nolan about the show. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, he's a legend. Love Phil, got an incredible amount of time for him. He's such a sweetheart and such an incredibly talented writer. And yeah, just so it both surprised me and shocked me, and it was awesome. But I was like, oh no, that seems like a, you know, one of the funnest games I've ever played on a podcast. Like I didn't give Phil or Karen an assignment on Parallax. I said, I'm going to guess your favorite scene in this movie from what I know about your work. And I guessed Phil's, and I also guessed Karen's, and there's so many Karen-esque scenes in Inherent Vice particularly that I'm like, I can see that being like a Karen scene. Like that's a scene she would have in her movies, you know? So yeah, so awesome that they were there. We'll be right back after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, you know, to counter your Nolan story, Phil and Karen politely said hello to me. So I'm not sweating it either. They should have been in and said
you
hi.
You almost spontaneously combusted, I bet.
Oh my God, I really wanted to. I honestly, like, I would have canceled the screening if I could have, just to sit down and talk to them a little bit about Destroyer. I so wanted to pick their brains about Destroyer so fucking badly. And that's right when I had to get pulled away. But I also want to say thanks to Katie. She showed up. She was back rowing it with us again.
Mm-hmm. And she filmed, if people want to check out 1-8 Minute, like on Patreon, 1-8 Minute, we did put the video introductions. And my highlight of the video of our Inclement Vice screening is Katie's cackle when she sees me. Like, it's so identifiably Katie that I was like... It's like, that's my only audience member I was caring about in that audience when I pop on the screen looking like Bigfoot with my wig and my shirt open and the glasses. As soon as I heard Katie cackle, I'm like, yeah, that's enough. Well, I've won.
It took a minute for you to get on the screen. And yeah. I think you had sent Travis like a picture of like part of what you were wearing, and you showed it to me, and I was like, I don't know what this is. And then you pop on the screen wearing like an Afro wig and your Bigfoot outfit. And I was just like, so surprised. And yes, I was holding the phone and filming this and cackling loudly.
Before we talk about that, I want to say real quick, shout out to 1-8 Minute Discord buddy, Marco Lopez, who literally flew out from fucking Texas.
Yeah.
To come see this thing. And so, you know, I did the right thing and I got him really high before the movie, which is why we didn't see him for drinks after, as I think he got so heroically, stupendously high that he just kind of passed out. So big shout out to him for coming.
Bless him.
And my my buddy Andy, screenwriter buddy Andy, who
did that terrific movie with Andy Samberg,
Palm Springs, yeah,
Palm Springs,
one of the great pandemic movies,
yeah.
And I was very excited to have him there, not only because he's a really good friend of mine and I like him very much, but also because he's a big PTA fan and he hated Inherent Vice, fell asleep watching Inherent Vice the first time in the theater, hated it, and he watched it a couple more times and he hated it. He was telling me how he started listening to Increment Vice, and through listening to Increment Vice, it's not his number one, I don't think, but it's rocketed from his least favorite PTA to his second favorite PTA.
Wow.
And which kind of was initially the whole point of the show, was just me to berate people into loving the movie. And at least there's one certified test case of someone where that worked. So yeah, very touched to see everyone come
a
out.
A lot of listens happened had to happen like for that one person to turn. You know, a lot of listeners to that show. So it's good.
But yeah, I was so happy to see it sell out. All of our LA horny pressed stoners come out for that. And yeah, that was in true kind of Increment Vice fashion. It got a little hinky at first on stage, where Blake was not being broadcast visually. We could only hear him booming like the voice of God. Apparently God's Australian, and so, you know, I was just kind of doing what I do, which is, you know, kind of pretentiously just wander around and listening to myself talk, going, oh wow, that sounds smart. And Blake, thankfully, like something out of a movie, explodes on the screen like halfway through and saves me from myself, you know, to quote Django Unchained, kept it funny. You know, he knew to keep it funny. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun to talk about the movie. And I didn't really know, Katie, I don't think either of us had a game plan when we were introducing these movies. I knew that if I tried, I tried for like 2 seconds to think of something to say. And I was like, if I do this, I'm going to try to like collapse the entire podcast into a 10-minute speech. I'll lose my mind. So I just kind of went up there not knowing what I was going to say or do, other than I was going to like bitch about the strike or the reasons for the strike, and curse out Steve Mnuchin, former Treasury Secretary of the Treasury for Donald Trump and executive producer of Inherent Vice. Beyond that, I didn't really know what I was going to do.
Yeah, no, I just winged it.
Like white linen suit. Like,
I wanted to just celebrate. Don Johnson. Me, the first screening was a celebration of Katie Walsh. I was so happy. I was like, I'm so happy. And at least in the Vice screening, despite my technology not working originally and then popping in to the screening, as you said, like booming onto the stage. Well, I couldn't
see.
In retrospect, yeah, it was perfect, but I couldn't see Katie. And I couldn't really hear the crowd until the great, you know, Courtney Howard was so lovely. She did the same thing that Katie did for our Inherent Vice screen. She filmed it and sent it through to Katie and I, and we posted it on our Patreon. And it was so cool because, like, I could finally hear how people were responding to us and to Katie.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. I was just like, this is the Katie Walsh, the celebration. I was just so happy. Aww. And everyone was really, we were really chuffed.
It really was the Katie show that first night. Like,
so good.
You know, you go to Twitter and Instagram to see, you know, who took pictures of what, and you're like, oh, I hope. And I was like, I was going to try and, you know, grab a couple and send them, Blake, to you if you wanted to, like, you know, throw them up on the feeds and stuff. And I was like, I hope there's some good pictures. And like, it was like literally every picture was like an all timer of Katie wearing sunglasses, these giant sunglasses on stage.
We didn't even plan that we were both gonna wear sunglasses, and we just went to rock out with sunglasses on.
Wearing the white Don Johnson linens.
I had to get a white blazer for the occasion. and I'm glad I did. But sorry, did I interrupt you, Travis? Thank you.
No, you interrupted as we were talking about how it was Katie's night. How dare you have something to say about that?
It was funny though, because I did actually go to one of the other screenings, which was Dark Man, which was right after Inherent Vice, which was hosted by Corey Everett, who's a good friend and has been on the podcast. And he's been on Inherent Vice. He's done Collateral Confessions. He does Cinephile Summer and does the Cinephile games and Little Cinephile. But we were talking and he's like, we were chatting a couple of days beforehand. And he's like, and he and I kind of razz each other as friends, but he's like, what are you doing for your intro? And I said, oh, we're just winging it. He's like, oh, I should have just assumed you were going to wing it. And then he goes, I have 10 pages of notes. And Jesus, I was like, Corey, do not read 10 pages of notes. But then he introduced Darkman and fucking killed it and had like all of this info. Like everybody in the audience was loving it. He like did a great job. It was like, I was like, okay, maybe the 10 pages of notes like was a good idea. Because I went up there and said, we started our podcast in 2022, which I did not realize until I watched Courtney's video.
No, you said 21. It was
I said the wrong year, but whatever. Hopefully everyone figured it out. Yeah.
There was like that one 1920s journalist with a fedora with the press paper sticking out of their fedora.
Eddie Walsh does not know.
Wait a minute.
Walsh doesn't know when our own podcast started.
Runs out to the lobby to phone call the story.
But it was just, it was just like a giant, like, it was just a love fest for the movie and also for us to, like, you know, reflect, again, like I said before, like, reflect on the journey of this podcast and the community that has cropped up around it. And also want to shout out Jacob from our Discord who came, who's the sweetest guy, and Gilbert was there. Jacob.
He was so nice.
Yeah, so like just a lot of really cool people who have come into our lives because of this podcast, and also like our little Discord community, everyone becoming friends there. It's just like the most fun.
They're the best like that
of the internet.
That little haven that we've created of those absolutely frothy Miami Vice fans are just the best people. They are so wonderful. Like literally, you usually go to social media apps and you kind of do that wincing thing when you know you're about to get punched because you're like, this is gonna suck, something's gonna piss me off. But whenever I open that app, I'm just so happy. It's like all the my favorite people all just like chatting and getting like fully deep on different things, like different, you know, different chat threads and stuff like that, and everyone is just such great friends and such sweethearts. It's amazing.
Yeah, so that's
it's the kind of place where you can call them frothy, as Blake just did, and they'll take it the right way.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a right way to take that. Yeah, and they'll take it the right way.
It's like if you could find anyone more obsessive than Blake about Michael Mann, it's there.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
And I think it's fun because it does engender like discussion and talking things through with people and like getting deep rather than Twitter, where it's like you have no idea, you know, how people are going to take things because it's just going everywhere to like a bunch of random strangers. But it's a really fun, everyone's on the same page. So this is just a plug for our Patreon to become a Patreon member so you can join our Discord, because it's just the best
place on the internet,
chat room ever. Yeah.
I want to make a random shout out really quickly. I want to not to wrench this away, but I want to make a random shout out to Josh Brolin of all people. Because, not because he did anything for the screening. Do? No, Blake, believe you. You would have gotten a panicked phone call in the middle of the night. That'd have been the case. I gotta say, you know, the Miami Vice screening, that might have been Katie's night, but I feel like the Inherent Vice screening was Josh Brolin's night. Again, sitting in the back row watching the crowd, I've seen this movie several times theatrically, more than is healthy, and I've never seen a crowd respond to Brolin the way they did this time around. He was like the MVP of that movie. People were like just cackling as soon as he would just like this a scene would just cut to him sitting at his desk, and you'd hear like the laughter start to like ripple and grow through the audience, to the point when he was finally filleting that banana of his. And like speaking of, you know, just having really great audiences, this was another great audience where you know, they were laughing at all of the great stuff, but you know, God, I was so scared that like something like, say, like during the sex scene, like you were gonna get like a or something like that. But it's, you could hear a pin drop during that scene. You could it was fun to watch these two different masters, PTA, and man, you could watch them from afar playing the audience and just orchestrating the audience's emotions. And then every once in a while, Brolin would barge in there and do it too. But like, just I gotta say again, I was so excited and happy that the people that came to see these, they so wanted to interact with the movie and meet the movies on their terms, on the movie's terms, and really experience them. And just, you know what, to bring it back to Ben David, I don't know him personally, but we follow each other on Twitter, and one of my favorite things of his Twitter account is every movie he sees is like the greatest movie anyone has ever seen.
Perfect movie.
And so this is the best. You know, that thing where he said, you know, I heard him say that to you, he was like, I love movies, as he's walking out of the theater. Both of these nights, they gave you that feeling where you just, you like wanted to run out and just be like, movies, man.
Yep.
Or as Katie put it, you know, screaming, let's go, as the doors kick open at the end of the movie.
But no, I wish I would give $1,000 to be right next to you to go, let's go.
I could not hold myself back. Like, literally, like,
do you?
Colin Farrell walks into the hospital. It's like directed by Michael Mann, and I just scream, let's go.
Do you not remember that's not the only time that you screamed out loud?
When did I? What was the other time?
Do you really not remember?
It's involuntary.
Do you really not remember?
No, what was the other time?
Jesus, you were like in a whole state, weren't you? It was at the beginning. It was in the club scene. And it was like, it was not right when it cut to, you know, in media res starts off, but it was like right, almost a couple seconds after that, maybe even a minute, like out of nowhere, you just go, yes. And like screamed, like,
I don't remember doing that.
And I think it was just like, it was like the crew. It was like, you were seeing all the crew coming together, and you just like, it was a bellow. That's what it was. It was
like bellowed.
It was a war cry. It was like I'm gonna rewrite the sentence as I'm saying it. It was a lusty war cry. It was a lusty war cry.
I don't remember that.
There is a certain actor who is probably lucky they did not attend and get tackled at this screening.
Who, Colin?
Yeah. Can I just
say, geez, how long is the list, Katie? I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. Like John Ortiz, Justin Theroux, Dominic. Dominic, for crying out loud.
Oh my God, he's in the Dirtbag
Lusty
Hall of Fame.
Is the way to put that. Yeah.
So firstly, Katie laughing at Lusty Warcry was great. But then Katie's eyes when she said, who, Colin, right now? Ladies and gentlemen, if we could bottle the way that a woman just looks on this Zoom chat, her gaze, if we could bottle that, we'd make some serious money
like
on this podcast.
She said it the way someone would say it, like, oh, Colin, do you know him? You know him?
Like
do you know him?
She said it the way a lioness looks up from her prey that she's eating, is what she said. Like,
but yeah, it was a you let one out. Like you pulled the ripcord on that.
I didn't know that.
But it was so right. Like, it wasn't,
was it appropriately placed, or were people
God, because like, yeah, I mean, the crowd was so into it. Like, I think they were still like hooting and hollering because the movie would had started. But what was great is it wasn't right when the movie started. It was like people were starting to die down. And it was like, no, I'm gonna like ramp this up one more time before we settle in for this bitch. And like, you just like whooped it up. It was a war cry, a lusty war cry.
And
I guarantee you, like almost like a Stephen King novel, like as he's in his mansion reading a script, or not reading a script because they're on strike, but like reading a book, watching TV, I bet a full body kind of shiver and goosebumps flooded Colin Farrell's nervous system. That war cry was whooped. Like, he felt it on some level. He knew.
Well, before we were talking about the lusty war cry, I was thinking that, like, God, my wish for really anyone, but for Colin and for Michael, is to watch Miami Vice with the audience that we had, because I think it would heal them.
Yeah, that's, I was actually thinking about that a lot that night. You know, I know that the audience responses to both of these movies were pretty mixed. Certainly, I think just about every list of PTA's movies, Inherent Vice is at the bottom for most people. And I know that the relationship that Mann and especially like, you know, the Ferrell especially has had with this film has been kind of contentious. It would be so nice for, I think PTA knows, he was on the fucking show, but it would be so nice to watch them see that people mm-hmm. dig the work that they did.
Yeah.
I have an anecdote about watching Michael Mann watch one of his movies, not this movie. We'll talk about this maybe on a future One Heat Minute show. But I would love to be able to sit back and watch him realize that people fucking love this thing, that this movie means something to people. And I'm not going to lie, I think there were other people. I was sniffling at the end of this thing. I had tears in my eyes, time run out.
Of course.
Oh, man. Fuck.
You're only human. You're only human.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love for them to be able to watch this and realize, oh, people, this is like some people's favorite fucking movie of all time. Like, this is not just their favorite Mann movie, not just their favorite Michael Mann movie. This is just their favorite fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine like John Ortiz? Like, that's the other people I think about. Like, I think about like John Ortiz. I want to watch John Ortiz see this movie with people who love him.
Yes.
Like, who quote every fucking line that he's doing in the movie, who just adore him. Like, even Eddie Marzan. Like, I want all those ancillary people too, because the love for this movie is so genuine and so amazing. It's just wonderful. But you did tease, we will wrap this up because we have another Collateral Confessions conversation coming up. Travis is coming back into the Miami Viceverse to talk about Collateral, which we're super excited about. Can't wait for that. And I think did both of you manage to get tickets to the Manhunter screening that's coming up with One Michael Mann?
With One Michael Mann. Yeah.
Yes, thanks to Travis. I am going to that screening.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, because there's a few people on our Discord who were like also fighting and got tickets for each other for different screenings and upcoming Ferrari screening in New York. And I was like, please tell me one of the people that is in this crew got tickets to that screening.
Yeah.
Manhunter will be
I was marine crawling under enemy fire to get those fucking things. A blade in my teeth.
Yeah, it was
the blood of my friends and brothers spattered across my face. but we're gonna be there. Hopefully Mann will be in the audience for at least part of it, because I want to watch him watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
He is not the steely, implacable gentleman you might assume him to be when watching his own films, as I from my one lone experience with that. It's a lot of fun to watch, and so I'd like to see that. But before that, I do want to say real quick, just quick shout out, big thank you to the American Cinematheque and to Lyric at the American Cinematheque,
yes.
who is kind of our point person to getting everything set up, all the tech stuff, all the Zoom stuff, answering 8 million fucking questions that at least I had. And I just want to say that I think that this Friend of a Fest, this podcast festival thing, this was a lot of fucking fun. What a clever idea this was.
Amazing collection of movies, amazing collection of creators all talking about their favorite shit. It was so awesome. And then I think what happened is once that initial drop happened and the response, it grew. Like, it had like Marc Maron doing Dog Day Afternoon, and obviously mm-hmm. we had our friend of both of our shows, Trav, like Jimmy Hempel doing the Oliver Stone with JFK.
Stone. Fuck.
Crazy.
The variety that it led to, you know, where there were shows that have specific movies they focus on, like ours with our Twin Vices. But then, you know, you've got the IndieWire podcast being able to do JFK. You've got the Pure Cinema Podcast boys whipping out California Split, which does not get played a lot. Outside of like the New Beverly once in a while. You've got like Corey, you know, Dark Man, which is such a cool left field movie to pick. And I like that created a little noir night. For our Saturday night, you know, Inherent Vice and Dark Man, which is such a wild ass double feature. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just want to say a big shout out to the Cinematheque for doing this. I think it was such a cool idea that allowed for such a variety and diversity of programmers and films and audiences. And I really hope they bring it back next year, because I thought this was a lot of fun. It was really cool.
It was like wildly successful. I think like every show was sold out. So, and the movies were, you know, everyone was very enthusiastic about it. So I think it was a big success for them. I hope it was super fun. And like you said, I mean, great lineups of movies and stuff that you would not expect to necessarily see on a repertory calendar. So yeah.
And it felt it was like their favorite movie that they were seeing. Like,
yeah.
And if they are going to do it, just give a little bit of notice and I will promise to be there in person. That is my actual dream. To be on stage with Katie doing a numb encore screening.
I know.
And look, there's a few other movies we've covered. There's a few other movies we've covered pretty extensively. I know that Travis wouldn't mind being a dance partner on a Zodiac screening All the President's Men, Master and Commander, fucking Chuck Collateral up there. Katie, you and I can do a Collateral screening. I mean, you know,
totally.
There's a few movies. I might even talk to Maria Lewis and see if they've got a Josie and the Pussycats in them, you know?
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, God, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
they would never get to the movie because I feel like you and Maria would just be doing like a bit for 2 hours. Like they would have to do those vaudeville hooks where they're finally get them off the fucking stage.
Yeah. And yes, thank you, Travis, for shouting out Lyric, who was amazing from the American Cinematheque.
A former student
of mine at Chapman University.
Awesome thing.
She really wanted to be a programmer when she was in school and was super dedicated and like really just was like making it happen. And I'm so glad she's at American Cinematheque. So I'm just very proud of her, Lyric. Anyway, American Cinematheque is family. Love them so much. Love everything they do. And can't wait for Beyond Fest, which is when
Greatest
time of the year.
Yeah.
My favorite time of the year, Beyond Fest. I live for Beyond Fest. I only become fully a complete functional human being who is myself for that 2 week period when Beyond Fest happens. It is the world's greatest film festival in the world's greatest city with the greatest genre films. And you've probably heard about it because, I mean, Christ, every show sells out so fucking quickly. It feels like the whole world is going for tickets. But if you haven't heard about it, if you live in LA, come to the Cinematheque and check out Beyond Fest. Jesus Christ, greatest
Despite
film festival on
the
Earth.
Crazy ticketing, we got tickets to everything we wanted.
I ended up getting tickets to stuff I can't go to because of other shows we're going to. Got very lucky this year. I don't know what happened. They put on the best show on Earth. And yeah, we're gonna see Michael fucking Mann watch and talk about
Manhunter.
Yeah. It's just gonna be him and us, sport.
Just him and us, sport. Bless it. All right, well, guys, this has been Increment Nice. A lovely little team up. We're gonna team up again. This has been so much fun. I'm so proud of you both. For making all of this happen and it was a completely surreal experience. I told Travis and Katie both offline, I just want to say thank you to everyone and thank you for your ongoing support and for making this happen. And I think the love for our shows was felt really deeply. And it was so bizarre. I was at a kid's party on Sunday morning, in Australian time before I went to the Increment Vice screening. And so when I came back to this kid's party to pick up my family and some guy was like, oh, what are you doing? I was just like, oh, it's just introducing a sold out Inherent Vice screening in LA, dressed up in a Afro wig and doing a Bigfoot Bjornsson impression. And he was like, what? I go, yeah, I know. And then I just went to a kid's party with my kids. And so it's a completely surreal experience. And
totally.
I was kind of glad that was happening because I was really moved and emotional about the whole thing. And I just want to say thank you, you guys. I was so proud of you both. And I was just, I am the biggest fan of the movies that we talk about, but I'm an even bigger fan of my co-hosts and partners in this whole experience. So it was
we're your fan.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Thank you for giving us the platform.
And to that point, being your fans, got to say, shout out to Blake fucking Howard, the only person to have more than one podcast featured at
yes!
this festival.
It's really overwhelming. It's overwhelming.
Kind of a thing that, you know, we didn't really talk about, but Blake had not one, but two shows anchoring this bad boy. He had the opening night show and the first Saturday night show. Not too shabby.
Not even Bill Simmons had two podcasts in a podcast festival.
spicy Katie Walsh just getting the cayenne pepper and going bang, 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 bang.
I'm just stating a fact.
You know, I didn't see Oliver Stone showing up to talk about Nixon after JFK.
Fuck, Nixon would have sold out too. Nixon would have sold out.
I would have skipped my. I'm sorry to say this. I mean, I love JFK, and I know we got to wrap this up. I would have skipped my own screening for Nixon. Sorry, I would have left to Blake, but I would have skipped because I couldn't go to JFK because of Inherent Vice started so quickly across town after it. But I would have skipped. I'm sorry to say, I would have skipped our screening for Nixon.
Have to do it. That's okay. We've got more opportunities later, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Inherent Vice is on oneheatminute.com. You can find it, or incrementvice.com. It is in our suite of stuff, whatever podcast apps you use. There, 46 episodes. Katie and I still absolutely powering oneheatminute.com for Miami Nice. The latest episode, which had some amazing revelations, Good Self-Reflection is its title, was in fact our 64th episode. You are listening to the 65th episode. We are powering towards 100. And it's getting crazier and crazier. I mean, just you only had to listen to the lusty war cry digression on this show to hear the very heights of what we do here. So keep listening. We've got exciting stuff coming up all towards the end of the year and all that sort of stuff. So I can't wait to talk to Trav again for Collateral Confessions. And Katie and I have got amazing guests coming on, some of which are a bunch of people who are all very excited and keen to join us after the screening. So we're excited. Eventually, Katie will tackle Colin Farrell and he'll come on the show.
And, literally and figuratively.
And we'll go from there. So thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.